So that's the role the city will continue to play, but really it's mostly about creating an environment that is welcoming, a way of life here that people want to come and live in and work in, and I think the rest follows.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Goldman, and this is Future Proof. So I'm really excited for a conversation I just had a few hours ago with Mayor John Tory of Toronto. He's done an amazing job supporting the tech innovation community in Toronto and in getting a really great conference like Collision to relocate up north of the border. Collision is why I'm here in Toronto right now. And by the way, sorry if I'm not saying Toronto or whatever I'm supposed to say. I am saying the second T. Sorry about it. Mayor John Tory is a fascinating person to talk to about how to look towards the future to build the city of tomorrow and how to support that type of ecosystem. Great conversation. Without further ado, here it is.
So first off, welcome to Future Proof. I know the answer to this, but if you could say your name and occupation and what you do on a day-to-day basis.
My name is John Tory, and I'm the mayor of Toronto. And I guess I spend my days solving problems, which you do in any big city or big organization, looking ahead and trying to make sure that the city can remain prosperous and healthy. And that includes, selling our great tech ecosystem here and being in effect the sort of host city for Collision. So I mean, you're kept busy. There's always something like that going on, although this is bigger than the normal event that we'd have going on in the city.
Well, I was going to say, I think what's interesting, obviously our backdrop is Collision, this major conference here. And I mean, why Collision? How did that partnership start? I know a little bit of this, and what are the long-term benefits, hopefully, for a city like yours, which is such a major innovation hub already?
Well, I think it's a coming of age of sorts, and I guess we would like to have thought that we came of age some time ago in terms of our tech ecosystem, although I should say, when I became the mayor 5 years ago and I went to Silicon Valley to try and recruit back some of the thousands of Canadians who work there, they said to me, aside from the odd grumble about the weather, that they didn't think there was the opportunity, the range of opportunity here. And I think a lot of that has changed as we've seen not only the growth of an incredibly dynamic startup ecosystem, but also big investments, billions of dollars in investment and job creation by global companies. And so I think Collision represents an opportunity for thousands of people, many of them from other parts of the world, to come and actually see that. I've discovered as mayor that you can tell people about Toronto, they sort of will know the name, but when they get here and they see the size of the city, which is obviously, we know it's the fourth biggest city in North America, but a lot of other people don't know that. But they can also see the size of the financial services industry, the life sciences, and indeed the size of the tech ecosystem. And so I think for Collision, it was something bold they did, which went out on a limb a little bit, but they had confidence in the ecosystem. And Paddy Cosgrave had sat here in his office, and I jokingly said last night when he saw the rugby balls over on the shelf behind me that's what put us over the top, and it might well have been. But I think that he just saw the promise in Toronto as a centrally located, sophisticated, talent-driven tech ecosystem, and that also had some of the other elements he's looking for, that sort of merger and that fusion between entertainment, digital media, tech, life sciences, and a host of other things that would make this a great place to have this.
And I know you mentioned rugby. I tend to do a very quick lightning round of irreverent off-topic questions for people, but I'm going to keep this very short so your time is valuable. Do you have a favorite thing overall about Toronto that just always speaks to you about the city?
I think it is the diversity. What it's brought us. I could tell you I grew up in the city and it was pretty boring in the 1960s when I was sort of growing up. And in fact, people here, no offense to Buffalo today, but people here used to go to Buffalo, New York for sort of entertainment, shopping, and so on. And today, Toronto's many times the size of Buffalo. And why did that happen? It happened because we had an open, welcoming immigration policy. We still do. And I think it has not only made the city more populous and more prosperous, 51% of the people who live here were born outside the country, but it's also created an absolutely unparalleled kind of world perspective. You have people here in positions all over the place, through industry, politics, the social sector, that bring with them their own experiences from other countries. And as a result, I think that that's what has made the city as dynamic and exciting as it is. And it's my favorite part of it because, as well, in addition to the kind of what it's done for us economically and otherwise, it has created a great deal of cultural entertainment. It's made us a food city, which I can assure you we were not in the 1960s. You know, you'd be lucky if you could get a sort of piece of roast beef and mashed potatoes.
That was actually my follow-up favorite food sport or food spot or at least cuisine.
I would say if it's cuisine other than what I'll call sort of plain old, garden variety North American cuisine, I would say it's probably Indian. And again, we have some of the finest Indian and Sri Lankan cuisine in the world here. I mean, outside of those countries themselves. And I think even people who were born and visit there and do business there would say that the quality of food that we have here from, say, India and Sri Lanka. I like the Sri Lankan food in particular because it's a bit spicier. But, I would say that's my favorite. But, I mean, the thing is, in this city, you have a choice of anything you want, absolutely anything you want. I mean, it's quality food. So I'd say, okay, Ethiopian restaurants. Well, the Ethiopian restaurants here aren't just Ethiopian in name or who their patrons are. It's quality Ethiopian food. And it's because we have genuine communities here from, just about every country on earth, where there'd be a substantial number of people, substantial enough to make sure there are restaurants to serve them, but also be available to everybody else.
Well, speaking about being served, do you think that this is going to be released tomorrow and then turned into an article or two? Do you think the Raptors will be 2-2 by the time that this is released or in a 3-1 deficit?
Well, I have to be an optimist. But I do think, given the heart with which they played the other night in double overtime, that if they can come out and repeat that, they will have evened the series up, and then it's a whole new ballgame. But they're up against a very formidable opponent. But my job is to cheer for them, and it's my pleasure to do so. And I think they'll be tied coming out of the Tuesday night game.
Well, I'm scalping tickets, so here's hoping. And hopefully they'll hold on to Kawhi, even if he succeeds you as mayor. It wouldn't be the worst thing, right?
I've said myself that if the price of keeping him is that he should succeed me as mayor, then I'm willing to talk. I don't think he'd like this job much, but I'm certainly quite willing to have him be mayor if he wants to, in addition to staying here and playing ball.
Amen to that. So moving back to more important questions, actually, what are some of the top secrets to creating a tech innovation hub? I mean, what have you learned from kind of supporting this ecosystem and building it over the last 5 years?
Well, the one thing is that you've got to have talent and you've got to produce it. And I think we're doing that. We've got in this very region 16 post-secondary institutions with more than 400,000 students. And so we've got a pipeline. They're not all studying STEM a curriculum, but a lot of them are. And of course, within reasonable distance of here, you have schools like Waterloo and so on, which are globally renowned. And we have a very open immigration policy, which is specifically tailored to making sure that if we identify the best and the brightest from other countries, we can get them here quickly to help our startup companies or to help global companies scale up their talent. But I think talent is by far the most important thing. And we have, through our public education system, the ability to, pull and push the levers to make sure that the kind of talent that's coming out of that system is going to be what we need to keep growing our reputation in tech and supplying the needs of those companies who come here or who are already here. So I think that's most important. After that, I'm sort of actually of the view nowadays, I think a critical mass of other industries is important because you sell and demonstrate and show your stuff in financial services, life sciences, and so on. And then after that, I think it's a way of life. I mean, I think the way of life that starts to be spoken to by the immigration policy that says we are accepting of people, no matter who they are, where they come from, if they're smart people that want to work hard.
So you're not building a wall around Toronto?
No, and I mean, we wouldn't think of such a thing. And, we think that the approach should be exactly the opposite, because we've seen what it's done for us to have waves of immigrants, including waves of refugees, come here. And even, when I say even the refugees who came from unbelievable circumstances have been in their different waves, Vietnamese, Tamil, Syrian, Ismaili, and so on. They have made extraordinary contributions and continue to, including to the development of the tech ecosystem. So to us, immigration is a necessity, and it's been a huge boon to us in terms of what it's brought the city.
No, I think that's critical. The other thing I wanted to ask you is, How much sharing actually happens between you and other mayors of major cities, Canadian and otherwise, in terms of what are the things that have actually worked for Toronto? Are you taking ideas from other places? Are you sharing the ideas in terms of what has worked? Because the reason why I ask is because that's often how innovation happens, is that you disseminate ideas to other sectors and then other people innovate.
I went on a trip last year, a couple of years ago, with the mayor of Montreal. We went together to Israel, and the purpose of it was, the focus of it was tech. And we went there to sort of say to a lot of the very brilliant tech entrepreneurs over there, if you're looking for a base of North American operations, consider Montreal or Toronto. So in that sense, I'm very open. And I've also forged an alliance with the senior officials in the Waterloo area, because I look, you know, we call it the Toronto-Waterloo Innovation Corridor. So I'm not averse. I think a rising tide lifts all boats. In terms of ideas at the city, I will say that the ones we've taken have more to do with the kind of internal innovation ecosystem here. So we've looked at an office of innovation similar to what they have in quite a few American cities, and sort of created one here. So ideas like that, yes, I'm not averse at all to sort of saying, well, if it's worked for, you know, San Francisco, where they have an office of innovation, then it can work here. We do it our own way. But if you said, are there a lot of formal consultations like that? No, probably not as many as there should be. And that may be partially related to the fact that we end up considering ourselves competitors. I don't know. I certainly don't look at it that way. I look at it that I'd be happy to tell anybody, you know, what lies behind the success of what we're doing here, which I think principally has to do with a way of life and an embracing of diversity and an open policy when it comes to sort of bringing the best and the brightest to the table in Toronto. But, beyond the education system, and I would certainly recommend public education to anybody, because I think it gives the government the levers to mix and match what you need. But I think there is less of that kind of collaboration than you might expect.
How about talking about collaboration? I think that one of the challenges, obviously, is, you know, you're not an island. You're working, for instance, within a federal government and a provincial government system. So how do you deal with the fact that you don't have full control, and there are budgets, right, that I know that even recently there's some discussions that you've had to have about how Toronto should be managed, you know, in relation to Ontario?
I think that what you have to make sure of is that our interests coincide. And while there have been some cutbacks recently in the area of even artificial intelligence and some of the areas that I think are, you know, part of our competitive advantage, cutbacks imposed by the provincial government, I think we still have a common cause in trying to create as many jobs in general, but also as many tech jobs as possible to make sure Toronto remains and even grows from its status as a major tech ecosystem, you know, in all of the world, let alone North America. I think we've had a very good relationship with the federal government, which has done nothing but to encourage, through the superclusters and through different innovation incentives that they have, the kind of innovation that we've seen take place here. So, you know, my attitude is, yes, the city, while the city will be better known than, say, the province would be in many places, Toronto would be better known than Ontario. I also know that we have to be in partnership with those other governments. Ontario controls the education system. Federally, they have a lot to do with things like immigration, which, of course, help us with the pipeline of talent coming into Toronto. And so my attitude has always been to sort of forge and maintain partnerships with them, because we can't do it alone, and nor can they.
Well, I think another thing that I feel like people can't really do alone is build almost the sexy, interesting technologies of tomorrow without the proper infrastructure. You know, and we're talking obviously the physical infrastructure, the real estate that's needed to support, you know, it's the kind of thing that is the backbone that a lot of people don't really think about. I mean, and how much time and effort and energy do you spend thinking about the almost sexy in front of the camera PR-able aspects of technology versus the things that have to happen in order to get to the interesting things?
Quite a bit. I mean, we've learned from our experience in building up what is now a very substantial world-scale film industry and television industry here, that you've got to have the necessary financial conditions. You've got to have the stage space to actually produce the movies and TV shows. You've got to have the talent to make the shows or the movies, and you've got to have good customer service. And so I think in our case, if you apply the same to tech, you have to make sure the tax and other financial aspects of people setting up here and doing business here and investing here are favorable. You have to make sure that we can find places, especially to accommodate some of the larger campuses that people want to establish. You have to make sure there's the talent, as we discussed earlier, through our post-secondary education system and an open immigration policy. And finally, you have to provide good customer service. So it means in tech different than movies, but it means if somebody needs something or they need a certain piece of infrastructure or some other kind of assistance from the government, the city government, that we're there to provide it. And we've been trying very hard to do that. And I think as well, I've just tried to indicate my commitment to the sector that I vocally articulate every day just about. I attend a lot of their different events. We've set up programs here that try to bring together business and technology. So for example, we have one called Digital Main Street, which is to make sure every small business actually, we design for them at the taxpayer's expense a website, so that because there's a lot of small businesses that just don't have one. And so we think that's important to get people into the position where they can start to take advantage of some of the apps by getting them at least one toe into the digital world. So that's the role the city will continue to play. But really, it's mostly about creating an environment that is welcoming, a way of life here that people want to come and live in and work in, and I think the rest follows.
So I think the moral of the story is Amazon ought to reconsider.
Well, look, Amazon made their decision. What was really great here, and I said this when I spoke at lunch today, we would not have made a bid, we wouldn't have pulled together a regional kind of a story to tell about this region and all that it has going for it in terms of locations and talent and cooperation and educational institutions and industrial critical mass had it not been for that bid. So that bid book, which we made public the day after it was submitted, has been downloaded 18,000 times. So whether we actually won or lost the Amazon competition, I bid because we bid to win. But the region benefited immensely from the 18,000 exposures of the bid book. And I'm confident Amazon, taken over time, will end up locating a lot of jobs here because of what they learned about Toronto and our ecosystem and everything that we have to offer. So, and, in some respects, when you read about other cities, sometimes winning didn't seem to necessarily be winning.
Yep. So I'm a New Yorker.
So we'll see.
Yeah. So the other thing I wanted to ask you is just how, in general, does a mayor try to bring a city into the future? Because obviously you're thinking about the term that you're going to be mayor, but then of course everybody's thinking about their legacy naturally 5-10 years out. How will people judge their ability to support the things that should be supported and focus on the things that should be focused on? So how do you, on an ongoing basis, just try to figure out, I'm thinking about the short term, but I'm also thinking about the long term?
Well, and when it comes to jobs and industry, aside from all the things we just discussed a minute ago in terms of creating the conditions for success here, you also have to be the chief salesperson. And I have certainly taken two or three trips that deliberately devoted themselves to technology. So the one to Israel I mentioned, one to the UK, the first trip I ever took as mayor, and I took a whole group of Canadian startups with me to go over there and talk about what they were doing, but I could get meetings sometimes that they couldn't. And so I think sell. Canadians are not generally very, inclined to go out and sell themselves as effectively as others do. And so I think there's that. I think then in terms of infrastructure, if I can call it that, one of the things we can look ahead and see is the kind of problem that success created in San Francisco with housing. And so we're moving very aggressively for the sake of our own people who already live here, but also for the sake of those who might come, lured in part, I hope, by our tech ecosystem, to make sure that we have an adequate supply of affordable housing, because that's a major issue that was on the mind of an Amazon, but is also on the minds of a lot of people who are presently living in San Francisco. I was talking to some people at the dinner opening Collision last night from the West, from San Francisco, and they were just telling me about how incredibly difficult it is to live there in the context of both the supply of talent now to some extent, but more particularly about housing. So I think we have to learn to build out a city that, in terms of its mobility, i.e. transit, its housing affordability, that's going to be part of producing a quality of life that will cause people not just to want to come here to take advantage of the inclusiveness and all that, but also will want to stay here when they get here. They'll say, there's no way you're prying me out of this place without a crowbar, because I'm so happy with my way of life, especially if they're the best and the brightest.
And then I think just very quickly, because I know I've got to let you go, I think part of being a short-term futurist is the ability to say, I have certain beliefs, but the situation on the ground has changed and I have to correct for them. How do you correct for your own biases on an ongoing basis in order to be a better leader?
Well, I think you check yourself against what other cities are doing. And other places are doing. And you check yourself against, as they would say in politics, people sort of voting with their feet. I mean, if the feet are still marching towards Toronto and coming in here to invest and create jobs, if I can still have situations where a lot of global companies will tell us their second biggest office next to, say, Silicon Valley or, say, New York would be Toronto, then I'm always going to strive to have the biggest office, but I'll be, you know, obviously anxious to see people making that kind of big ramp up here. And if you stop seeing that, then I think you know it's time to sort of reassess and examine your own biases and examine your own track record. But right now, I think the approach we're taking, which is really to make a place that is conducive to investment, to make sure we work with the other governments, to make sure the talent pool is there, to make sure that there aren't disincentives of one kind or another for tech people to invest here originally, grow here and stay here. So that means encouraging immigration, it means encouraging capital, you know, venture capital and so on. I think that if we just keep doing that, so far it's working. And I think only when we start to see any sputtering in that regard, you have to sort of stop and say to yourself, okay, do we have an approach that's still relevant? But I think for today, it's relevant, even recognizing that with the pace of change, no approach stays relevant forever without some modification. So we're watching it constantly.
Mayor Tory, this is a great. Thank you so much for making the time.
Thank you very much. And I hope, you know, those who have a chance, there's still time to get to Collision. So, you know, it's on for another few days. But and if not, next year. It's here for 3 years, and we're going to make it bigger and better every year.
You heard it here first.
And thanks again to the mayor for making the time to talk to us. Just a reminder, if you're not already a subscriber, first off, shame on you. Second off, make sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or wherever finer podcasts are sold. And once again, I'm Jeremy Goldman, and you've been listening to Future Proof.